The second scriptural reading will be read in the middle of this sermon. This sermon is going to be about us and our cultural view on aging and the biblical view on aging. Can you all hear me well enough? Good. You all know our culture is obsessed with the idea of youthfulness, which actually is the opposite of aging. I don't know how long ago it was, but we started hearing 40 is the new 30. And no doubt 60 is the new 50. Good Lord, who knows how far up that'll go? Maybe 90 will be the new 80. Everything we see advertised is either about masking our bodily pains of aging or touting a drug, natural or synthetic, to keep aging at bay or even reversing it. We advertise communities where our golden years are spent bike riding, golfing, swimming, our social life filled with friends, and our sleep restful. Y'all remember the comedian Jeff Foxworthy? He had that whole routine, you know you're a redneck if. Well, I'm here to tell you, you know you're getting old if you're riding a bike and your knees make more noise than your bicycle chain. Or you know you're getting old if you don't so much break your New Year's resolutions as just forget what they are. And how about the cartoon Maxine? I love that crotchety old woman. Maxine has some great adages about old and aging. She says, I don't know how to act my age. I've never been this age before. Or, I don't want to say I'm old and worn out, but I make sure I'm nowhere near the curb on trash day. Or, I finally figured out what I want to be when I get old. Young. But this is my favorite. Maxine says, don't let aging get you down. It's too blamed hard to get back up again. Now, what our culture says about aging is not so much outright lies. There are small truths in our jokes and our skewed view on aging. But really, our golden years are not so golden for everyone. 40 is not the new 30. Yes, as we age, we do collect aches and pains. And yes, we are fortunate to have ways to ease our pains, though we can't always afford all these ways. We cannot stop aging. We cannot reverse our aging. And no, we don't always sleep all night uninterrupted. Yes, we can play golf or basketball or swimming or other activities. But when we do, we pay for it, sometimes immediately, and are always reminded that we are not young anymore. Now let's talk about two other cultural misconceptions about old people. The first is we don't like change. We resist change and are incapable of adjusting to change. I'm reading a book by Will Willimon. Will is a theologian, and just so you know, he and I are on first name basis. I just haven't told him yet. Will is also a retired Methodist pastor and bishop, and is currently a professor at Duke Divinity School. And he happens to be one of the most read authors by pastors. In his book, Aging, Will references an article that he had read. And this article concerns the 6 to 8 most difficult transitions we make in our life. And most of them will occur after the age of 65. Transitions such as declining health, loss of independence, unemployment, loss of a spouse, loss of friends, and the decline of institutions we relied on to keep ourselves centered are among the major transitions we have to make in this life. And we do not make it by choice. It is true, we old folks don't like change, right along with everyone else, regardless of age. We older folks, in truth, are drowning in change, serious, traumatic changes, and we're still chugging along. Getting old ain't for sissies. And how about the second misconception? Our losing our mental agility. Yeah, we do have a reduced capacity to multitask. This is a scientific fact. And of course, because science says so, obviously it's true, right? But they have done a lot of studies on us old folks, because there are a lot of us out there. And where once we could juggle 7, 8 balls, keep them all in the air, we're down to about 2. And I have proof of that, firsthand proof that every one of you can relate to. We have a direct relationship with the number of balls we can keep in the air to the number of steps our grandchildren and children tell us to take as we're learning how to do something on our phones. All right? They'll rattle off 5 or 6 steps. And as they are completing step 6, we are just coming to terms with step 2. Proof. We can only keep 2 balls in the air. But I really think this reduced mental capacity is something we all can live with, can't we? And science has also shown we older folks have an increased capacity to reflect. I didn't say daydream. We are able to reflect more deeply than we could when we were younger. Now, maybe this is because we have more uninterrupted time, especially late at night. But science also has shown our brains do change as we get older. But whatever the reason, thinking deeply about our life, thinking deeply about the lives around us is a gift from God. And this gift can benefit our community if we share it. Now, the biblical view on aging is very sobering. And we're going to take a deeper look at the second scriptural reading, Ecclesiastes. But I wanted to introduce you to that book. I'm just curious, how many of you have read Ecclesiastes in the Old Testament? Got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Well done. It's can be difficult to understand. Ecclesiastes is wisdom literature. And wisdom literature is literature that deals with the way life works. Add to that, it's written poetically. And then add to that, what we're reading is a translation of the Hebrew poetic writing. In this book, there is one word that is used 38 times in the 12 short chapters. And it is the Hebrew word hebel, H-E-B-E-L. And In the context of Ecclesiastes, that word implies impermanence. It suggests moments that are fleeting, like a breath, like the morning mist. It suggests that everything that happens isn't permanent and is provisional, meaning it depends. After carefully examining almost every aspect of life, the teacher in Ecclesiastes concludes that nothing lasts. Nothing and no one can escape death, the great equalizer of all. It doesn't matter your social standing. It doesn't matter your religion, your race, your gender. Nevertheless, the teacher says we humans are wired differently from other creatures. God has placed eternity in our minds. Listen to this verse from Ecclesiastes. And I know God has made everything beautiful for a time. God has also placed in our minds a sense of eternity. We look back on the past and ponder over the future. Yet we cannot understand the doings of God. That's out of chapter 3. And the teacher at the end of the book summarizes the entire book for us, which I don't know about you, but in many cases for a book, I go to the very end and read it just out of curiosity. It works in Ecclesiastes. Go to the end, chapter 12, verse 13. When all is said and done, here is the last word. Worship and reverence the one true God, keep his commands. And for this is what God expects of every person. For God will judge every action, including everything done in secret, whether it be good or evil. So with that said, I am going to read our next scriptural reading, Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verses 1 to 8. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come, and the years draw near when you will say, I have no pleasure in them. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened and the clouds return with the rain. In the day when the guards of the house tremble and the strong men are bent and the women who grind cease working because they are few and those who look through windows see dimly. When the doors on the street are shut and the sound of grinding is low, and one rises up at the sound of a bird, and all the daughters of song are brought low. When one is afraid of heights, and terrors are in the road. The almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper drags itself along, and desire fails. Because all must go to their eternal home, and the mourners will go about the streets. Before the silver cord is snapped, and the golden bowl is broken, and the pitcher is broken at the fountain, and the wheel broken at the cistern, and the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the breath returns to God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, says the teacher, all is vanity. So now let's dig into this a little bit. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. I think this is kind of giving us an indication that an elder is going to explain some facts of life to those who are younger. Before the days of trouble come and the years draw near when you will say, I have no pleasure in them. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened and the clouds return with the rain. Yeah, this is definitely about getting old. And this advice is not about fairy tale views of aging. This reading from Ecclesiastes is a poetic but sobering view on aging. In the day when the guards of the house tremble, that can be better translated as your hands begin to shake and your grip weakens. And the strong men are bent and the women who grind cease working because they are few. Your legs get weak and your teeth get fewer. And those who look through the window see dimly. Your eyesight weakens. The doors on the street are shut. You get lonely. Many of your friends are gone. The things you depended on, the things that allowed you to stay centered, are all gone, changed, or are changing. The sound of the grinding is low, and one rises up at the sound of a bird, and all the daughters of song are brought low. You can't get a good night's sleep anymore, and your voice gets weak and trembles. When one is afraid of heights and terrors are in the road, you become timid and fearful. The almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper drags itself along. Your hair becomes white, and your limbs creak, and you stumble. And desire fails, need I comment? Because all must go to their eternal home, and the mourners will go about the streets before the silver cord is snapped, and the golden bowl is broken, and the pitcher is broken at the fountain, and the wheel broken at the cistern. And the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the breath returns to God who gave it. You die, and life goes on. I know what I just said isn't poetic at all. Nothing like this reading from Ecclesiastes, but it is equally blunt. Are we truly prepared for this? Well, prepared or not, this is us. The Old Testament view of old age, poetic at best, could seem bleak, but it is not without purpose. Listen to God speaking through the prophet Joel. Then in those days I will pour out my spirit to all humanity. Your children will boldly and prophetically speak the word of God. Your elders will dream dreams. Your young men and women will see visions. To put that in context, God had told Joel that God will create a new covenant. And we're it. This was written 900 years before the birth of Jesus, but Jesus was born. Jesus lives. Jesus preached and gave examples, and Jesus died. And Jesus rose again, and Jesus ascended into heaven. We are the new covenant because of that. Your elders will dream dreams. And this isn't referring to dreams of bygone days, nostalgic dreams. God's spirit is the living spirit for the living people of God. These dreams are saturated with God's imagination. These dreams are filled with God's instructions. And when we dream these dreams, are we to keep silent and tell no one? No. God calls us to share our God-filled dreams with God's people. The New Testament's view of old age is equally upfront. No change in this getting old, then we die. And the New Testament also emphasizes getting old with purpose. Because God does have a purpose for each and every one of us. No matter how old we are, we do not and will not die having no purpose. Hear what the Lord says. Exhort the older men to enjoy everything in moderation. Respect yourselves and others. Be sensible and dedicate yourselves to living an unbroken faith demonstrated by your love and perseverance. Perseverance doesn't happen overnight. And the older women, be respectful. Steer clear of gossip or drinking too much so that you can teach what is good to young women. Be a positive example. That's out of Titus. We elders are given instructions on how we should behave as aged Christians. How to be role models. Now listen to this wonderful example of God's use of an old person. It was our first scriptural reading, and I'm going to read it again to you. 8 days after his birth, the baby was circumcised in keeping with Jewish religious requirements, and he was named Jesus. The Holy Spirit had revealed to Simeon that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's anointed one. The Spirit had led him to the temple that day, and there he saw the child Jesus in the arms of his parents, who were fulfilling their sacred obligations. Simeon took Jesus in his arms and blessed God. Now, Lord and King, you can let me, your humble servant, die in peace. You promised me that I would see with my own eyes what I'm seeing now, your freedom, raised up in the presence of all people. He is the light who reveals your message to other nations, and he is the shining glory of your covenant people, Israel. Simeon was the first one to publicly announce who Jesus is. Simeon was old. And there are many, many more examples, both in the Old and the New Testaments, showing God's sacred use of us, elderly people of God, for the people of God. Now, we've looked at our current cultural fantasies, and we've looked at some cultural misconceptions, and we've taken a brief look at the true story of aging and purpose as told in the Bible. So what's left? What's left is our personal discernment of God's chosen purposes for us. The aged, the elderly, the not young anymore. What's left is for us as a community of faith to encourage, exhort, and support each other in retelling the true story of aging. All around us, we hear of aging congregations, and what's inferred is we, the old, are of no more use. We are irrelevant, out of step, stuck in the past that is no more. And this is not the true story of aging, as told in the Word of God and by God's living Word. God. Yes, Lord. Okay. I think I'm getting it right. God still calls us to service. Yeah, I know it's not going to be the same service that God called us to when we were younger. God knows us better than we know ourselves. It's time for us to reflect on God's word more deeply, to consider our life and the lives of others more deeply. It's time we proudly live as positive examples of living, aging, and yes, dying. The price for this sacred, beautiful, generous gift of life is death. Yet this cost truly is a small price to pay for being transformed in physical life and dying to live the true life we are all promised. You're hearing this today because right here, right now, this family of faith is discerning God's desires and God's directions for this family of faith. To rightly discern God's will, we need to hear the prophetic words of our children. We need to hear about the God-given visions of our young men and women. And we need to hear from each other about God's dreams for our future walk with God. I gotta be honest with you. I know you people. Here, there, I know you. I know every one of you will arrive at the pearly gates, enjoy the music, bask in the glory of the Almighty for a while. And then you'll say, okay, how can we help? What can we do to serve? And you know what'll happen? Our Creator will give a great big belly laugh. And our Lord Jesus will be grinning from ear to ear, and the Holy Spirit will nod and smile. Because we were listening. And our joy will overflow as we continue to serve our holy and sacred triune God. Amen. The next song, folks, will be Song of Simeon. The words are in your bulletin for the first verse. Sing in your hearts, mouth the words if you can, hum the tune, but listen to this beautiful music. Because we are broadcasting, use first names only, all right? Unless you have already talked to those people that you are going to offer prayers for and they're comfortable with this, fine. If not, use their first names or just reference what we are truly praying for. So, yes, ma'am.
Prayers for all families and folks in California and elsewhere, fighting these wildfires, firemen themselves, but all those affected, and in particular, my sister and her two daughters that have been evacuated twice. It's just very, very serious.
Now, I'm going to repeat this. So, your sister and two daughters living in California?
Right.
have been evacuated twice. Prayers for Ginger and her family, but also prayers for all those people involved with fighting the fires. The frontline firefighters, all the support. Did I get this correct?
Absolutely.
All right. Who else? Yes, Shannon.
I would like to ask for prayers, continued prayers for Jim Lissman, yes, and his family at the passing of his wife, Betty. And I know this is going to be such a tough time for Jim. And, so anyway, I just ask for prayers for the Lissman family.
All right. Betty has died. And her husband, Jim, and the family will be struggling. And we are offering prayers of consolation and comfort for the bereaved husband and for the rest of the family. Is that all right? Okay.
And their friends.
And all their friends, which there are many. Jean.
This last week, I also lost an ex-neighbor of mine. Julie French passed away. And as far as I know, her family hasn't any plans for services yet. But we've been friends for over 50 years, and it's hard. Prayers for her and her family.
Prayers for a past neighbor of Jean's who has recently died. The family hasn't made any arrangements yet as to the funeral, but obviously, again, prayers of consolation and comfort for her family and her friends, and you too, Jean. Yes, LaVonne.
My prayers for the teachers in our school district and across the state that are going to be facing new challenges for school this fall and for the students.
Prayers are being offered for our teachers who are not given any clear-cut direction because things keep changing. Prayers for the students who are equally struggling. This is a major issue, and this will have major impacts down the road. But keep all of the school administrators, the teachers, all the folks and the students in your prayers as we embark on this very different school year. Okay. Sharon, you had your hand up again?
Yes, I'd like to also ask for prayers for the family and Janice, and she has terminal cancer and is getting close to the end, and I just would ask for prayers for the family also.
Prayers for the family of Janice, who is coming to the end of her life, has terminal cancer. I'm sorry about the interruption with this. I don't know what's going on. But keep her and her family in your prayers, again, for comfort, for consolation. Yes?
For our most isolated and shut-in people in the assisted livings and nursing homes who are not being allowed to have visitors, not being allowed to go out of the facility, I just want to lift them up in prayer. That has to be very hard.
We have a request to pray for all those in assisted living homes, retirement homes, all those people who are the most vulnerable at this time, who cannot have visitors, who cannot go out because of the health risks. Keep them in your prayers. Mark.
Prayers of Thanksgiving this last week. Betsy reached a milestone in years. And our family gathering was probably the best that we have had in many, many years. The children and grandchildren.
Terrific.
Prayers of Thanksgiving for the children and grandchildren all coming together for Grandma and Great-Grandma to celebrate her 29th year, though I can't figure out why that's a milestone. Ginger.
Well, I will add another joy. got a text the other night with a young man showing off a engaged gal with a sparkling ring. Andy Munn has gotten engaged to be married.
Andy Munn, your name is being used in broadcast. You are a child of this church.
That's right.
And we are celebrating your engagement. We offer prayers, not just for prayers and consolation here, but prayers of joy and prayers of wisdom as you embark on a lifelong relationship with this young woman who I hope she knows how lucky she is.
Yes.
There are some side comments here about prayers for the young woman too, because we do know the young man. Yes, again.
Well, I'd like to lift up a joy and a prayer for Spencer Smith as he goes off to Eugene, to the University of Oregon College. And what a wonderful celebration of his graduation yesterday at his home, and just prayers for his future.
And Spencer Smith will also be named in broadcast.
Yeah.
Because he is also a child of this church who has successfully completed high school, and from what I understand has not added a great support to the emergency room here in this town, and it is going off to college. Prayers of good cheer, joy, health, and best welfare. Any others? Well, I think that is the perfect prayer to end on. Dear Lord, we are always thankful for all your gifts. We are grateful that you take the time and listen to us as we share our concerns, share our sorrows, and share our joy with you. We thank you for being in our life, and we thank you for the lives of others who are also in our life. And we cannot help but give praise to your name by living according to your precepts, by loving, shown to us in example by our Lord and Savior Jesus. Thank you, Holy Father. Thank you, Sacred Spirit. Thank you, saving Messiah. And in this we pray, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, offerings. The plates are in the back. You can put money, checks. We do not trade in kind. We don't want any beef, pork, or chicken left in the plates. But we do thank you for what donations you can give at this current time. We appreciate that. So let us sing to the Lord in our hearts as Ginger plays a doxology. Please stand if you're able.
Accept what we offer today, our checks, our cash, our faltering steps, our brokenness, our leftovers, our hopes, our lives. Bless and transform all that we offer and all that we hold back, that new life may be ours, to celebrate and share in Jesus' name. Amen. The closing hymn today is, Lord, dismiss us with thy blessing.
Thank you.
sisters. May God bless each of you as God gives all of us hope, purpose, and joy. Live life to the fullest. Live a life of God-given purpose in hope with joy. Go in peace. Amen.
Amen.